I don't need that money they are paying to the psychiatrist just to talk to them. You know what the man does? He sit down and listen. So God don't share the money. Are you getting my point? That this one, you don't need it, so I won't bother giving it to you. What am I saying? When people are running around looking for money to do some things, why God didn't give you the money is that there's another way you can do your own. That's what I'm trying to explain. Some people are saying, what are you doing? You and your friends are talking. This is for the children, you know, who are building the house so that at least they can collect rent money. In your mind, are you planning for the children to be poor? So they'll be waiting for rent money. You'll get back home. Sustain your children with prosperity. You don't have to give them physical cash. You need to have prosperity in your soul. Are you getting my point? Deep inside your spirit. And from there, you pull it out and sustain that young man, sustain that young woman with prosperity. He said this here, that with grain and new wine, I have sustained him. How did I do that? I poured the blessing into him. That blessing is a spiritual substance. I'm repeating the message I prayed last time because it's very, very important. That blessing is a spiritual substance. It's not a wish. Most people pray, the prayer is like a habit. Let's just wish for something good to happen. No, it is a spiritual substance. You have to infuse these things regularly into the lives of your offspring. You have to infuse them regularly into their lives and resist every temptation that tries to make you remove those things from there. Sustain their life with words. Words, I said, we talked about it before. Words are very powerful. Said, life is what? A battle of words. Everything you see is temptation, all right? So that people will say what is wrong. You hear that, a plane was flying over Ukraine, and the rebels, in their stupidity and zeal, they shot it down, killing almost 300 people on board. And you know your son will fly too. You get my point? Just say, hey. Oh boy, when you want to fly in life, check whether the path is over a conflict zone. No. That is how most of human beings respond. But this is the point. That's how most people respond. Hey, you call your son, I just want to advise you. Before you book a flight, check the path that they are taking. If there's a conflict zone, if he flies over Gaza Strip, don't go. Because as they are shooting rockets into Israel, you never can tell. If he flies over, you know, Democratic Republic of Congo, where they are having rebels fighting from Rwanda, don't go. So which one do I enter? And once he's not flying through any dangerous zone, it's okay. Thank you, Daddy. By the way, which website will I check? That's how human beings respond. You know, you want to plot it. But the Bible says you can sustain that child with divine protection. When you hear that, you tell your children, it's simple. You will not fly in a plane that will be dropped by rebel fire. It's a statement. Don't be beg. I'm just warning you and informing you. That is how your life will be. I have sustained him with divine protection. Everywhere you go in life, you will be lucky. Doors will open for you, even though you do not know any human beings. I'm a blessed man, therefore my name is good. But whether they know your name, you are a child of God, you are talking to your offspring. Whether they know you are my son or my daughter or not, is irrelevant. Remember, everywhere you go, favor will surround you like a shield. That is sustaining your child with favor. You don't need to give him a note, go and meet my friend. Listen, that's as Christians say, we don't have any advantage in life, disadvantage. We don't have. The Bible says that the Lord surrounds the righteous round about with favor as with a shield. So, instead of saying, Who will help my child? Who do I know? Who do I not know? While they are still small, start sustaining them with favor. When you are praying, it's not just today. God, as we are going out, we thank God for that. It's a good prayer. Amen? It's a good prayer. But then, you know, we are creating a habit as Christians. We sustain the children. The young man maybe was born yesterday. Now, you are already sustaining him with excellence. You carry him in the morning. The mother says, please hold him for me. You are rocking the baby. Start singing. Things that have no meaning. The children are wondering, what's wrong with daddy? Why is he talking like that? They can't just tell you because they can't talk. But they know you sound off. Because science has shown that even while they were in the womb, they are hearing voices. From the womb, they know the mother's voice. And I come and say, are you okay? Instead of that, when the child is crying, say, oh, don't cry. You are surrounded with favor as with a shield. Everywhere you go in life, doors will open for you. The angels of God will protect you all the time. Your angels will not depart away from you. Listen to me. You are a seed of the righteous, and you are going to walk in righteousness. I command the glory of God to restrain you into a walk in righteousness. You are sustaining him with righteousness. Listen. Solomon said, this is one thing that the rich and the poor have in common. He said, God is the maker of them all. Now, you can look at that on the surface like God made everybody, but there's something else that's deeper that's going on in there. He said, all of them have the same divine resources. I don't know whether you get that. That's what Solomon was saying. He said, the rich and the poor, they have that one in common. God is the maker. But what does that mean, really? It means all of them have the same divine resources. Whether he's rich or he's poor. The rich man will use money, okay, and you go to this, you go to Harvard, you go to Princeton, you go to go anywhere. So he uses money to talk. But the poor man says, well, money is a way of talking, but the talk is not more powerful than words. So he tells the boy, listen to me. Your friend's father can give you money to go to Princeton. I will give you words to go anywhere with. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, the way spiritual things work. I told you the story before. Ben Carson said something. As a little boy, he went to church one day with his mother and the head of medical missionaries. And he wanted to be a medical missionary. He trained as a doctor, then he go abroad and go and help people. Except that his mother was young and poor and there was no father. Father had gone. So he turned to the mother and said, do you think I can be a doctor? This is America. Plenty of money to go to college, to go to med school. Even more money. The mother instead of saying, do you know this? You know, that's why. Be careful the kind of words you speak. Be careful. Someone said, oh boy, not your level. No, the mother didn't say so. The mother put two hands on both shoulders, looked at him in the face, said, you can be anything you want to be. All we need to do is ask God for it. They went through trying times. They went through difficulty. They went through all kinds of challenges. But ultimately, after going through every challenge in life, the young man, you know, let me tell you something, the way God works. He rearranges events to bring to pass that which he wants to do in your life. That's how, because what happened to him was that he was now growing up in the time of what they call affirmative action. What's affirmative action? Affirmative action is like, because they understand that the blacks have been downtrodden for a long time. They have a lot of disadvantages. So just made it a law. Like in Nigeria, we have what they call educationally disadvantaged states. So when they admit into universities, they give preference to people from those areas. Once you meet a certain, you cut off for people from those areas, usually is lower than from those that have educationally, like if you are from AKT, forget it. Yes, that's my point. What is it, this state where every household has a professor? I mean, go and score higher in JAMB before you come back. You understand? You know? So that's what they call affirmative action in the US. So they were giving opportunities to black people. God used all of those things to open doors for him. That's what happened. The time he, of course, he became, we are talking about him now because the man became world famous. The time he entered, when he became a resident doctor in neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins, what happened? It was just simply because he learned music. So when he went for interview, he was the only one that discussed music. He didn't discuss medicine. He discussed music with the head of neurosurgery. But when they discussed music, the man liked this young man that liked music, so he appointed him. By the time he was finishing, a door opened, and they asked, will you step into it? He said, why not? People offered him money to 3 times what he was earning. He actually resigned, so he could go and earn more money. His bosses called him, oh boy, why are you resigning? You are good. This job is good. It fits you. Brilliant future. He said, my man needs money. Whatever it is, they persuaded him not to go. They tried to adjust his conditions a bit, but it was still poorly paid compared to the people who were, you know, asking him to come. But at the end of the day, he became the Ben Carson that you and I know today. Now, why did I talk about that? Where did that start from? It didn't start from when those things began to happen. People want to start adjusting things much later. No, he started from the beginning. One day, his mother put 2 hands on his shoulders and said to him, you can become anything that you want to be in this life. All we need to do is ask God for it. And they prayed right there. And the events of life began to rearrange to ensure that he became what that day they asked the Lord for. That is, the mother sustained him there with divine favor. Many people who had much more money than her could not achieve what the young man achieved. That's why Solomon said that the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they all have the same resources. All they need to do is learn how to apply that power that God has placed at their disposal. Isaac said to Esau, I have sustained your brother with new wine. I've sustained him with grain. I'm telling you, children of God, sustain your children with favor. Sustain them with the spirit of righteousness. Sustain them with spiritual characteristics. How do you do it? It's what you tell them. That is it. Because I'm going to talk about something. Let's read that scripture now. That would be a good time. Because Christians, you know, I said every action you take in life as a Christian is either an action of faith or it's an action of unbelief. And let me say something to you. If you're a child of God, no, let me say something. Once you are leaving Egypt, please enter the promised land. You hear what I said?
Yes,
once you are leaving Egypt, what do you ensure?
Enter the promised land.
Don't loiter around in the wilderness. Otherwise, serpent, go bite somebody and the fellow will be buried in the wilderness. What do you mean by enter the wilderness? Enter the promised land. Take the word of God and act upon it. Follow divine principles. Do what the Bible teaches you. What the word of God, when the teacher of the word of God, prophetic utterance, whatever it is, comes to you and you know this is the word of God, obey it. That's how to enter into the promised land. Because those who leave Egypt and don't enter the promised land, they give God a bad name. The God that takes people out of Egypt, but he cannot deliver them into the promised land. When they die in the wilderness. That's what I mean when I said, make sure you enter the promised land. And what do we mean by that? Obey divine truths entirely. Obey prophetic words entirely. Obey divine truths entirely. I'm saying something here. You see, when Christians make decisions sometimes, it's obvious they don't believe divine truth. And one of my brethren said something the other day. He said, this money that God is giving us, let this money not become a curse. Let us not use in claiming, because one of the things that happens in life is that if you don't follow divine order, you're actually running away from the thing you think you are pursuing. And you are running towards the thing you think you are running away from. Let me explain. There's one explanation I used to use. You see a young woman say that, I don't want to be poor in life. You know, my father was poor, so we suffered as young children. So what is our solution? She's a Christian. If you're an unbeliever, you know, unbelievers have a different set of rules that guide them. I'm not a teacher of unbelievers. Are you getting my point? I teach Christians. So the young woman says, no, so that I will not be poor in life. I will not marry a rich man. Except that that is dragging her closer to poverty. She doesn't know it. If you don't want to be poor in life, what do? You pray. You know, people don't realize it. It's that simple. You listen, you just sit down and you pray. And you know God answers prayers. God answers prayers, though. Do you know He answers prayers? Oh, God answers prayers. If you just kneel down sincerely and say to Him, "You are my God. You are the one I'm running to. I am not asking for this because I'm competing with Chinedu. I'm not asking for this because I'm competing with anybody. This will make my soul glad." Listen to me. He will do it. I went to that to explain something. So he said, "I don't want to suffer like my mother suffered." Thank you, Nika. So you're not looking for a rich man to marry. That is passport to greater suffering. The glory of the latter house shall be more suffering than the former. That's what, as Christians, we handle things spiritually. Like one of my friends said, he told the mother, "Any man that marries me will do well in life." He has no choice. He has married me. Once he marries me, he must do well. See, let me sit on this message. So the thing as Christians is that we have to be careful that we don't run towards the thing we think we are running away from. And like I said earlier, how do we enter the promised land? We obey the word of God. We obey the word that we have been taught and we have come to understand and we are persuaded is the truth. We obey those words. That's the key. That is the key. Now, back to what I was saying. So, one of my friends now said, one of our brothers, he was saying something one day, that let's hope that this money that God has given us does not become a curse to us. Why? God gives a young man money. He says, "I want to ensure that my children are well taken care of." And what does he do? This one that is happening these days, he packages wife and children and send them over to Canada. Why? The joker stays in Nigeria. One of our brothers said something. He said, "Family, you're not supposed to visit your family. You go home to them." The family are not people that you visit. You go home. I can't say that, Pastor Bankin has to talk. Pastor Hannah, yes, I want to go and visit my family. Where are they? They're there for Belgium. So you visit them how many times a year? Like 3-4 times in a whole year. One whole year. That's where I like it. Say, you know, what works for somebody does not work for another. Yes, stupidity works for some people. And wickedness works for some other people. Yes, in that regard, I will agree. Who's talking about all? Let's face the truth. So one of our brothers said that, look, family, you don't visit family. You go home to them at the close of work every day. You can go and visit your friends, visit your grandmother. Are you getting my point? Visit your uncle. Visit Lord Lugard. You know, visit. I don't know why I said Lord Lugard now. You know, just visit. When it comes to family, you go home to them. There have been situations which people, some things compel a separation, but it has to be temporary. That is, you have to be working hard to end it. You get my point? You have to be working hard to end it. Not sitting down to plot it. Why do people do those things? That's what I'm talking about. Now listen to this. They say, "You see, when if I leave my children in Europe and I'm in Nigeria, or I leave them in North America with their mother and I'm in Nigeria, thank God for all the temptations. I'm so strong. Temptation is not my portion. Fat lie, but let's just believe the guy is telling the truth, you know." You know, one of my brothers was talking the other day. He said one guy who was making that decision, he was shaking his head, talking to him. He said, "The man who's counseling you is a womanizer. You are a Christian. You are taking counsel from a womanizer. You know that when his wife has gone, that is freedom. But for you, it's called torture. And you are listening to him. May God, this is my prayer for Christians. May God help us to understand what is important in life. Amen. Very, very important. Now, this is where I'm going. Now, people do those things. Why? Because their faith is in human structure. And that's the reason why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. But they don't understand. The child you hardly see, how do you put a hand on him and pour a blessing into him? The things that are seen are not made out of the things that are visible. What do I mean by that? What I'm saying is that the prosperity you have believed, you are wishing for, hoping for your children, that you are desiring for them, it doesn't come because of good roads. They say a good educational structure. It annoys me. You know what it annoys me? The educational structure you are talking about has a principle underlying it. There is no God. I don't know whether I get my point. You are rushing your children to a place where they say the teacher cannot say to them that homosexuality is wrong. By law, if he infers it by accident, they sack him. And you are not there to teach him the word of God. You obviously don't believe there is power in that word. Maybe you should not be listening to this message. People don't understand what is important. You want a child to say so that he will do well in the future. Meanwhile, what the people that are going to help him do well, they're telling him, if your father is a man and your mother is a man, it's okay. They're now changing their forms to spouse one and spouse two. Father and mother is getting, is discriminatory. Yeah, when you say father and mother, you are discriminating. So you now say spouse one and spouse two. Yes. Some are even saying that they should redefine the word father. Because a woman can be a father if she chooses to be. So to solve the whole problem, that's why I using spouse one, spouse two. And that's for who are married though. Some will go carry father. Than that, they carry further than that. It's not even spouse one, spouse two, because they may not be married. So it's now partner one, partner two. Because the partners can be both, can be Adam and Steve. And or can be Eve and Evelyn. You know what I mean? And the people are confident. They now take their children and cast them into the center of that and stay away. And you think that you are giving the child a brilliant future. It makes me laugh. Why can't they go to the school and say the ASU went on strike? The man saying this, ASU was on strike when he was in school. Now, God has blessed him and is prosperous enough to carry wife and children, to catapult them somewhere else. And, are you getting my point? The same God that blessed him before is dead. So he can't do it for his children. So he has to do it by himself. I wonder if our brother said, let this money not become a curse. Remember that scripture I quoted? The poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they have the same resources, they just don't realize it. So for the rich, if he's not careful, his money becomes a serious disadvantage to him. And as for those of us Christians, I said earlier, we have to be careful that we think we're running away from something. Meanwhile, that's the very thing we are heading for. The primary thing that determines what the life of your children will be is how you sustain them with the word of God. But that's the next thing I want to go into. That's why I went into this sidetrack, because people look at it. They take their children away from the center of the word of God. And put the children in the center of ungodliness. Because there's a good educational system around it that teaches the boy there is no God. And you have the impression that you can phone him and remind him periodically, there's God, though. No, I didn't say that the way you're thinking it. When I said that, I actually meant there is God, though. For you now, you are thinking there is God, though. We have to be careful. That's what that brother was saying that day, that this money does not become a curse. You have to be careful. Why am I saying it? For those of us Christians, we know the things that matter. It is more important that you personally teach your children the way of the Lord in how to do righteousness and justice. Two scriptures we read with it. We'll continue developing that one next time. Let's just read this quickly. It will take a few confessions of the word of God, and then we'll leave here. Let's quickly go back to Genesis chapter 18. When God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and destroy it, in verse 16, the Bible says that the man, that's from the house of Abraham, now he stopped in Abraham's tent. Verse 16, then the man arose. Then the man rose, Genesis chapter 18, all right, verse 16. Then the man rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That's what I wanted. Verse 19. God says, I have chosen this man, Abraham. There is a purpose. There's a great thing I want to do through his lineage. But for it to be done, these children must be commanded. The household must be commanded in how to keep the way of the Lord, in doing righteousness and justice. Without that, what God wanted to bring to pass through the lineage of Abraham will not be done. The destiny for which those children were created will not be fulfilled. I said at the beginning, every child that's coming into your life has divine destiny. God didn't just give you children to feel happy. Say, me too. I don't carry pekin. You know that kind of thing. So you can point and be bragging. This is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. No. Those are, you can take pride in it as extra blessing. You know, like, it's the things added to it. The primary thing, reason why God gave you those children is so that he can do something specific through their lives. There is something he wants to do. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make there? Even though God wants to do something, there's no guarantee to happen in that person's life. You know, I've been saying this again and again. What you and I need to do is to do what is necessary to ensure that the word, the promise, the plan of God for our lives come to pass. For example, he said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. That is, when God gives a word, even though that word is for you, if you don't collect it by faith, mix it with faith in your heart, it will appear as if the word was not for you. Do you understand that? You understand that? In the same manner, when God called Abraham, he said, for the thing I want to do through the lineage of Abraham to be done, the children must learn how to do righteousness and justice. They must learn the way of the Lord. What am I saying? The divine destiny, the brilliant future you hope, you wish, you desire for your children will not come to pass except you as a parent take the time out to teach them the way of the Lord. That's what I'm going to say. Many people in planning for their children, that's why I said everything I said earlier, they put them in a place where they cannot, they will not have the opportunity to put those children through in the way of the Lord. These are the things. One, the child, you're giving a prophetic name all the time, and so you are speaking prophecy into his name. Two, you sustain the child with words. You sustain your descendants with words. You sustain them with prosperity. You sustain them with grain. You sustain them with thin wine. You sustain them with favor. You sustain them with every good thing. But for those things to come to pass, the child will now settle down and say, oh boy, you must learn, no. Oh girl, you will learn the way of the Lord. That is how you bless your descendants. The greatest thing you will give them is not money. It's not houses. It's not even a good, you know, education. We have a PhD from Harvard. No. The greatest thing you will give to them is to ensure that they are established in the way of the Lord. Next time, we'll read that scripture again. Because the Bible says, when I mention Philistia, I mention Rahab, Egypt, somebody says, this one was born there. People take pride in where they were born. He said, but listen, it is coming. It will happen. That a time will come that people will take pride in the fact that they were born in Zion. That is what is most important when it comes to their destiny, therefore, is whether they have a root in Zion or they don't have it. Let me close here. We'll continue from this particular point next time. I want a brilliant future for my children. Not only do I bless them, I have to, with those same words, begin to instruct them in the way of the Lord. And listen, it's not just to take a Bible and mechanically teach children. That is very good. You have to do that. Like my wife ensures that my children, memory verse, everybody, you must cram memory verse, gives them lectures, the word of God and all of that. But also, that Ephesians chapter 1 prayer that we pray for ourselves and we declare all the time. Who says it is not good for children also? That God will give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That they will know the difference between worldliness and godliness. That they will know what is right. I dare to say, very few parents pray those prayers for their children. And they expect that when they are teenagers, boys will always be boys. No, boys can be godly boys. Do you get my point? If you teach them godly word and pray godly prayers for them. Listen, you want your children to do well in life, don't worry about it. Don't worry about money. You don't need money. Don't forget. Don't live here with that scripture. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is, they have God's resources, and that's what matters. There's no disadvantage that the poor man has. The children of the rich man can work for the children of the poor man. Yes. If the poor man's child listens with the blessing of God from the mouth of the parents and he learns to do righteousness and justice, one day, I like one thing Isaac said. I have given him all his relatives as his servants. That scripture is very, very, that statement is deep. Let me explain something to you. Esau was a hard worker. Esau is a sign of a connected man. Esau is a sign of a man that has all the degrees from all over the world. Esau is a sign, all right, of the man that has material substance. The Bible says clearly, Isaac was speaking. He said, I have commanded Esau to serve you. Look, decode that. I don't know what I heard I said. That Esau is all the strength in human beings, summarized. And this is the blessing of God upon somebody. I have commanded Esau to serve you. That those that have will use the resources to do the will of God in your life. I don't know whether you get my point. If you say that you're looking for money to do business, don't worry about it. You have to learn to know God. Amen? Amen. What will happen one day is that those who have money will give you money. It's not because they like you. It's because their name is called Esau. And your name is what?
Jacob.
And you have the blessing of Isaac upon you. They will bring money to you. Strangers will build your walls.
Amen.
Listen, your children will not lack.
Amen.
People will fall over themselves to help your children.
Amen.
That's why I tell you that the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. That is that God, what he can do in the life of one person, he can do in the life of another. Let me say to you again, you don't have a disadvantage.
Amen.
One of our sisters gave me a testimony here last week, just last Saturday. She said that all you need to do is ask from God sincerely. She asked in the morning. By afternoon, God did 3 times what she asked for. I don't know what I heard I said. I can't give you details. Let me just give an example. Maybe just say, God, please, this is my friend who is here, or my brother. I really, really would like to buy him a computer because it would be good for that, for his schoolwork that he's doing. But I don't have money. My salary cannot buy a computer. By afternoon, she got 3 computers. One for herself, one for her brother, and one for the other brother. Somebody just said, what is going on? He said, I'm looking at you. What are you thinking of? I was just thinking of my brother. I want to buy him a computer. It really be a blessing to him. You have the money? No, I'll buy it. God will supply one day. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I have one. You can have this one for you. Do you like one for yourself? Let's not give another one. Let's just make it 3, just to make everything complete. I've colored the testimony a bit, all right? But then the point, I have passed it across. Listen to me. God answers prayers.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, your children will not lack in this life.
Amen.
They will not suffer.
Amen.
No, listen, they have no disadvantage. They will attain to any height that you can imagine. I want to hear your amen.
Amen.
And beyond that which you can imagine.
Amen.
And that will happen in your lifetime.
Amen.
He says, say to the rich. Let me quickly say this. We must not forget. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, say to the rich ones, not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but to put their hope in God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. I need to add that one to it. These words, I keep on saying that the poor and the rich have one thing in common. If you are one of the rich, don't forget, you need the same weapons that we are arming everybody with. It's very crucial. Don't say, because I have money, I don't need to pray. Are you getting my point? Listen. Do what you have to do. If you have 10 billion naira and you feel like your son should do postgraduate in Harvard and you have the money, I didn't say it's a sin. Did I say so? I said something. The amount of effort you put into something reflects the amount of faith you have in it. For you, maybe that is nothing. Okay, you are going to Harvard. You're a big boy now. You're in your 20s. You can still live on your own. Okay, fine. No problem. But remember, that is not an advantage to him. That's what I'm emphasizing. What is the advantage you need? You are a child of God. God gave you that plenty of money. Don't put your hope or your faith in that money. Do the same thing that every child of God requires. Put a hand on that young boy. From the time he's small, sustain him with favor. Sustain him with health. Sustain him with prosperity. Sustain him with godliness. Sustain him with righteousness. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Both of them need the power of God in their lives. That's another way of reading that scripture. I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes,
I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes,
if you understood anything today, say loud amen.
Amen.
Very good. Let's just bow down our heads and just quickly thank God. Let's just rise our feet at the same time. Thank him in your own words. And I want you to begin to declare the word of God again. Say, my seed. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. Whatever it is. Declare your own words. Say, my seed will be mighty on the earth. Declare it. My seed will be mighty on the earth. Say, I have all the resources necessary. My children have all the advantages in life that they need. I declare upon their heads, they will be mighty. I sustain them with favor. Declare it. I sustain them with favor. I sustain them with divine protection. I sustain them with every good thing. I sustain them with life. I sustain them with godliness. I sustain them with divine understanding. I sustain them with the anointing of God. I sustain them with the spirit of grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for the beauty in your word. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus.